And this is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
And welcome to Yarra Valley FM. On the first day of spring, how beautiful is today? It's like, yep, it is a spring day. Sunny, gorgeous. I hope you all have some time to get outside and soak up beautiful sun and the vitamin D. And good day to be here. Weather makes such a difference, especially when things are a bit tough right now with, you know, during lockdown and all the rest. To have something to look forward to and get outside, it just makes such a difference. And today's show is about that. So we've got some great lists of guests today. We've got Kelly Morgan, who's a mental health first aid instructor who's been working with council for a little while now, this year delivering mental health first aid to community volunteers. But she's also talking about this concept of mental fitness. Talking about, you know, what is, we all get looking about getting physically fit and walking and eating well and moving, but what does mental fitness mean and what does it look like? So she's our first guest for today. And then after a bit of a song break, we've got Shona from the Healesville Living Learning Centre, talking about ways we can get active and connect and get involved in our community, even currently with our lockdowns too. Some great activities you can get involved with as well, and our wellbeing sessions coming up tomorrow as well. We also have Alyssa from Council from our families team, talking about ways you can get active and connect with the environment and with your family as well. And Jen Ellison, who's an environmental volunteer officer at Council, talking about ways you can currently now, today, it's a beautiful day for get outside, get your hands dirty and then get outside and enjoy the environment. And final on our little last session for today, we have Jeremy Back talking about the Biodiversity Blitz, which is launching through Council, but also got Deborah and Shani from the Eastern Regional Libraries talking about libraries are currently doors closed, but they're still offering lovely access to books and loans and online access services as well. So they're talking about, you know, what you can do right now to enjoy a book, enjoy some library services and out about and enjoy the lovely weather. So first off, welcome Fairley.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers. Now today is the first time I actually see each other's faces. We've been on the phone for a bit and doing lots of emails about the running mental health first aid for community volunteers, but I actually got to see each other's face for the first time today, which is kind of nice.
Sure, why not?
So tell us a bit about your role in the mental health first aid. You've been doing instructor for the community volunteers. What have you seen? What's it been like for you as an instructor engaging with these our community volunteers?
Oh, look, it's always amazing engaging with volunteers. People who choose to take up mental health first aid training, I generally find are some of the most gorgeous, kind, caring individuals. But once you've got volunteers in the community doing it, you're usually going above and beyond then. So they're absolutely lovely people, incredibly community-minded, stating the obvious. So to be working with them and training them up has been really, really gorgeous. And it's been lovely too because although I don't live in the hills anymore, I actually grew up there. So speaking to people, you know, from my neck of the woods around, say, Ferny Creek and Sassafras, and where I eventually moved to Upway, it's kind of like coming home in some regards. So I've been really enjoying my time doing this.
Yeah, it's great. But actually, I think we've just ticked over, I think 130 community volunteers have now completed their mental health first aid, which is a great outcome, particularly, I think, you know, through COVID and with the storms as well. Mm. But it is, and people aren't unaware of mental health first aid, it's, well, actually, I'll let you, since you're the instructor and the expert, Philly, I'll let you explain what it is. I won't try to mess it up.
Okay, no stress. So mental health first aid, it sounds a bit like physical first aid because in some respects it kind of is. So physical first aid as a program has been around for a long time, and we know that physical first aid isn't about trying to train you up to be a doctor or a nurse. It's about just knowing what to do in high risk or crisis situations to help someone and usually get them to the appropriate support. Mental health first aid is a program that's been around for about 20 years now, and it's similar to the physical first aid, except obviously it's about mental health issues. So it's for people to develop a sense of understanding around common mental health conditions, to recognise when someone's going downhill towards actually having an episode or heading towards a crisis situation potentially, and not to try to turn them into a psychologist or a counsellor, but to give them the skills to recognise what's going on and get them towards help in the appropriate direction. So it's a great program. It's an a nationally recognised accreditation that lasts for 3 years, just like a physical first aid accreditation lasts for. And it's either 2 days' worth of face-to-face training, or during COVID and lockdown, it's a combination of e-learning and facilitated-led sessions, which is what I've been doing more recently with you guys.
Yes, yeah, it's been nice to be able to offer different opportunities for community volunteers to they want face-to-face. When we can, and when we can't, we've always got those options around that online learning and going via Zoom, which has been great to still be able to do those things when the times are tough as well. And actually, and I learned this through these programs too, it's an Australian invention. This actually started
in
Australia, so it's going to be quite proud.
Yeah.
Now run internationally.
Yeah, over, I think it's 25 countries now and counting have their version of mental health first aid. But yes, it started in Australia in 2000. We can be rightly proud of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, you also do some consultation around mental fitness, which is such an interesting concept. So can you tell us a bit about what is mental fitness?
So mental fitness is something that I trained up in a number of years ago, back when I was in the fire brigade, and I was working with the Canadian military and fire services because they are, in many respects, world leaders when it comes to what emergency services personnel are doing to keep themselves at the forefront of mental fitness. As a topic, it's something that's been more more utilised in kind of the sports psychology space. It hasn't really had as much of an impact over here, but that was where I became interested in it and brought it back into what was then the MFB here in Victoria. So mental fitness is a term that it's very similar to the concept of mental health. However, mental health, when you ask a person what is mental health, you get a lot of different ideas about what it is, and then equally a lot of different ideas about what needs to be done to contribute to it. And so the Canadians, quite rightly so, recognise that if you're going to have good mental health or good mental fitness, you need to actually think of it similarly to physical fitness. Because when we think about physical fitness, most of us have got a reasonable level of health literacy to be able to say, okay, I know that to be physically fit, I can't just walk for 5 minutes a day and then spend the rest of the day eating McDonald's. That's probably not going to create good physical fitness for me. We know that we need things like good sleep, reasonable amounts of exercise, a reasonable diet. We need, you know, reasonable amounts of vitamin D, and we need to be doing these things on a daily basis to create and then maintain physical fitness. And so mental fitness, very similar. It is actually quite interlinked with physical fitness because a lot of the things that we do to keep ourselves physically fit have a major, major impact on our mental fitness as well. And those are things around exercise and light exposure prioritising sleep in particular. But mental fitness, if you've got good mental fitness, you do need to be thinking about it just as you would physical fitness and prioritising those different activities that I can talk more about if people are interested.
Yeah, as you were explaining, how interconnected those two are, obviously, it makes so much sense when you think about it. Because of course, they're interconnected, but thinking about, you know, going for a walk, it's great because it clears your head, you feel connected to the environment, you see some birds and trees, it's lobby for your head, but also you're moving your body, and all this stuff happens when you move your body, and good endorphins and all the rest as well. And same thing with your drinking a good amount of water and eating healthy food, you're feeding your body, which feeds your mind, and obviously sleep is great as well. So you can think about, I was thinking about now, because now is a difficult time, so people might have had some really good routines when there were no restrictions, like, okay, so I'm going to go to the gym regularly, I'm going to do these activities, I'm going to go to play tennis or kick a footy with some friends, and there's a lot of things currently now that are more difficult to do that we can't do. So
yes.
About those things of how do we continue our mental fitness when it's probably most needed as well?
Yeah, that's it's a good question, and it's certainly one I'm hearing a lot of at the moment. Because, not all of us will have had perfect mental fitness strategies beforehand, but the reality is they have, for almost all of us, I would say, suffered under COVID and under lockdown. So essentially, and this doesn't matter whether we're talking about COVID or non-COVID circumstances, but if we're talking about your mental fitness, I suppose the first thing you have to recognise is what is genuinely within your control. Because for a lot of us, we like to think about, well, I'd be better if my job asked less of me, or if my partner just cleaned up more, or if my kids were, you know, doing more of their homework. We put a lot of emphasis on things that I'm not going to, they certainly are important. However, they're not necessarily entirely in our control. And so when thinking about mental fitness, ideally we're thinking about things that are more within our control. So we can't necessarily control, well, the weather, for example, but we can control whether or not we might go out and get one of those. If has anyone heard of SAD lamps, seasonal affective disorder lamps? Yep. Really good invention to help us get some the equivalent of natural vitamin D when we can't go outside. They use them a lot in Scandinavian countries. So it's the first thing to think of, though. What is genuinely within my control?
Yeah.
Because the more you focus on what's outside of your control, ironically enough, the less you do things that are genuinely good and within your circle of control, as we call it. So even outside of COVID, we have to acknowledge what's within and not within our control. But COVID and lockdown has meant in many respects that that scope of control for a lot of us has shrunk. And so whilst we might have had things that were good or great for our mental fitness, like going to the gym, as you mentioned, now we're having to do things that are good enough.
Yes.
And I think that can be challenging for people, because we tend to be a bit all or nothing as human beings.
It's like, I want to listen. Like, I can't then, so,
I can't get to the gym, so. Which is a very common human response. So it's firstly, it's about recognising what can we control. Can I control whether or not I order a lamp? Can I control whether or not I go for a short walk? Yes, you can hopefully control those things. And then saying, all right, well, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it needs to be good enough. And then taking action in a number of different areas that we've started to talk about already. So certainly things like exercise, certainly things like getting out and into the natural environment, things around social connectedness, prioritising sleep, looking at mindfulness practices, avoiding as much as we can exposure to negativity in things like social media, consciously seeking out moments of gratitude and pleasure and joy, and also recognising how we're behaving and how we're supporting other people as well.
Yeah, we've got some really interesting things to touch on all those different categories there. And I was thinking, now as we're talking about, you know, we're in the Upper Yarra at the moment, so there are some beautiful, beautiful locations in the environment. Even when it's a bit, you know, drizzly or wet, there's still, it's beautiful country. And so I was thinking about, what are some good little, if people want to go and say, oh, look, okay, I'm going to go for a 5 or 10 minute walk. How's a way that you could take that walk and incorporate a bit of mental fitness? Obviously, just going for a walk itself is great. But is there ways you could suggest of people sort of incorporating this idea of mental fitness in something that they're currently doing?
Yeah, definitely. Because the challenge is that you just go for the walk and you're not genuinely there. Your head is off somewhere, thinking about work, thinking about the future, thinking about the past, and you won't have gotten the true benefits of being on that walk. So what you can do is almost imagine that at the end of the walk, you're going to be asked to give a short report back to someone, doesn't matter who, someone, you know, your partner, a family member, about what you saw on the walk. What was the weather like? Now, what was the light like? What sort of trees did you see? What sort of smells and sounds were you aware of? All of the, trying to focus on the here and now with your senses is actually mindfulness inherently, bringing yourself to this present moment and observing it. Ideally with it without judgment, but I'll take just observing it just to start with. So observing it and then being able to describe it back That is what stops your head from jumping into the future and going, oh, God, when I get home, I've got to make that phone call. Or thinking back to the past and, oh, no, God, yesterday was terrible and I didn't know and I forgot to do the things. When really, if you're going to invest in your mental fitness, you want to be present in that beautiful moment and really absorb it. So that's my trick. Imagine that someone's going to pay you $1 million to describe that walk when you get back. And you'll be surprised about how much you genuinely focus and try to take in that you would otherwise just not be conscious of.
Yeah, it's so true. I think too, technology and mobile phones and the cameras as well, like you'll see like, oh, I'll take a photo and I'll show it later. But if you say, well, maybe don't take that photo and just observe that and really capture that moment, and then be able so you can tell it, you can explain and tell that story to somebody without a photo as well.
Yeah, like a number of the volunteers I've been speaking to when I've been doing the training, they've talked about already doing this because at a gut level we know that it works. But they've talked about going on these walks, heaven forbid, without their phones.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, stunning, unheard of. Or if they do take their phones, it's only so that they can listen to some, it might be a relaxing piece of music or something like that that actually helps them be even more in the moment. But it's not to be taking photos. It's not to be doom scrolling. It's only to enhance the experience.
Yeah, that's a lovely little practice to sort of change the way you do things currently. So not adding, sometimes people are like adding something to your life, sometimes finds a bit overwhelming. So just changing like something you're already doing and just doing it a different way.
Yeah, and one thing at a time. The whole thing about multitasking is it's actually a complete myth. We can't do it. We just tell ourselves we should be doing it. And it means you're trying to jump between 7 different topics without really genuinely paying attention to any of them.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And so if people wanted to, I think it's a great way just to kickstart today. It's a great day for that. Just to, after you enjoy this program, you could just go for a walk for 5-10 minutes or a bit longer even, just to maybe leave your phone at home and just see what you observe in your little, just in your neighbourhood, and take that mental picture and think about telling somebody a story of what you saw and what you heard in your walk. It's a lovely way just to reframe those little short walks we can do. And if people wanted to, you know, delve a bit deeper into mental fitness and do a bit of research or think more about it, is there any way you can sort of point people to find out more, or any suggestions of where they can learn more?
Well, look, you could start. If you want a nice image and description of the different levels of mental fitness, I do have a description of it on my website, which is actmindfullyconsulting.com.au. So you can just go to that page and have a read about it there. And then, look, honestly, you can Google it or type it into YouTube. People such as Dr. John Arden have done some really foundational work in talking about the absolute basics of mental fitness. But as a starting point, if you just want to say, well, what is it even about? Because there are levels to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just check out the actual image on my website.
Yes. Yeah. And look, seriously, can you give us a little, I don't know if we have to finish off soon, but can you give us a little idea of what those levels might look like?
Okay, yeah, so it's colour-coded. Mm-hmm. So think of it as being a bit like a thermometer, except it's horizontal instead of vertical.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it goes from green to yellow to orange to red. So green is a state of pure mental fitness, and that's where you are doing all of those things that keep you physically and mentally fit that we've sort of talked about very briefly. And that's not to say that things are perfect for you. If anything, it's that you're aware of the challenges and you're responding as best you can to them to try to keep yourself in the green.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow is where things are starting to pile up on you and you're reacting to what's going on. So life stresses, work stresses, maybe you're not in perfect health, maybe you've got a minor injury. But usually when people are in the yellow, they're aware that they're stressed out and they're aware, equally aware of what they need to do to get themselves back into the green. So we call that reacting. Then you've got the orange, which is where people are really starting to head downhill now. And now you could call that injured, or possibly, you know, really, really struggling under stress. And so this is a space where you feel like things are absolutely piling up on top of you, and it's a lot harder to see your way back to the green. Mm-hmm. And in the orange are things like burnout, chronic grief and loss, loneliness and isolation. So things that aren't actually mental illnesses, but things that can nonetheless have a profound effect on our physical and mental fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And then down in the red is where we would talk about someone meeting the diagnostic criteria for a mental illness, any of the mental illnesses or possibly multiple mental illnesses. And it's as far away from the green as you can get on that scale. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that you can't get back to the green. However, ideally, in the world of mental fitness, you recognise where you are, you recognise where others are, you recognise that we go up and down this mental fitness continuum, but you do the things that you can within your control to try to get back towards and stay towards, stay within the green as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's really nice visual for people there to see that, that spectrum of, like, of those colours and... And not thinking, you know, if you, maybe if you are in the orange, there's one thing you do to move you to next, into mm-hmm. green. Or if you are, you know, in space, not trying to think of like, I have to get to the green straight away, but what can you move towards that, along that spectrum to that next stage? Is instead of like an all or nothing, what's the little thing that can support you to progress?
Yeah, and this usually the closer you are to the red and the longer that you've been there, the simpler you need to keep things. So the usually the absolute basics around things like sleep, around moving your body, around what are you doing with hydration and nutrition and social connectedness, those absolute foundations of mental fitness. Now, we'll sometimes say, because I'm a psychologist, we'll sometimes say, let's just start with one, just one. Let's just improve your sleep. That'll help definitely if you're in the red.
Yeah. And it's a lovely little sort of thoughts around that's that, you know, checking in with friends and you say, oh, how are you going? The response is always, oh, yeah, good, or all right. But, you know, what colour are you? What colour are you feeling right now? There's a nice sort of, you know, way to start the conversation of realising and self-checking, you know, oh, where am I actually feeling right now? Where am I along that spectrum? What colour am I feeling right now? There's a nice way to obviously change the conversation besides just a how are you? Conversation too.
Yeah, no, it was a real game changer in military and emergency services in taking away some of the stigma too around talking about it and labelling people and saying mental illness. So just to be able to say, oh, I'm kind of like a dark yellow in all honesty, but I'm aware of that, and so I'm going to finish up work early today and go for a walk because it's a beautiful sunny day. So, you know, rather than having to explain exactly what that meant, just use the colours.
Yeah. I love it. Such great work. So, look, thank you so much, Fairlie. And if people are interested, you can just jump on your browser and just search mental fitness, or go onto YouTube or such. But also on your website there, actmindfullyconsulting.com.au. And there's a little great little image there with the spectrum as well to show you the colours. So, really appreciate this great conversation we've had, Fairlie. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm going to head off to a song now. We're going to lead into some little activities to help you along your mental fitness with Shona from the Healthy Learning Centre, Alyssa as well with the families in your council, and Jen talking about volunteering. What are those little things you can do in your life to support your mental fitness? So off for a song, and we'll see you soon.
And a lip lock to you. When I drop off of the planet, just vanish, don't panic, I'll go. Shine, shine, shine.
Yarra Valley FM. This is Michael Goodrich from Yarra Rangers Counselling at the Council's Connection Show, and a really great conversation with Fairlie Morgan around mental fitness and what it looks like in that spectrum of colours, thinking about your physical fitness in the same way as your mental fitness and ways you can support good mental fitness. It's all interconnected, so it was really good conversations there. I thought we'll continue that conversation about, well, what does that look like for you? What can you do currently in your own home or in your own township or neighbourhood to support your mental fitness as well? So I've got some great guests lined up here. We've got Shona from the Hughesville Learning Centre. Hi, Shona.
Hi, Michael. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And we have Alyssa from Council with our families team.
Hi, Michael. Lovely to be here.
And lastly, Jen from Council, also for the environmental volunteering.
Hey, lovely to be here. It's really great.
Thank you so much for the three of you joining us today and talking about mental fitness and what does that look like for people today and currently with these restrictions. What can we do to support our own mental fitness and the people around us as well? So I'm curious about that spectrum and those colours there from the green to yellow to orange to red and those little things people can do to help them progress into green or to stay into green and feel physically or mentally fit as well. So I'll just kick off with yourself, Shona, Hughesville Learning Centre. What's when Fairlie's talking about those, you know, those everyday activities like walking and connecting and things like that, was there the living the Hughesville Learning Centre is currently open at the moment, and I was wondering what your thoughts are about that spectrum and ways people from the Hughesville Learning Centre could sort of support people to do those activities.
Yeah, unfortunately we can't have anyone on site, so it makes it really challenging. But we have got an online workshop tomorrow, talking through. We'll do some mindfulness activities and have a little bit of fun with a quiz or a game. And just give people the opportunity to see some faces that they might not have seen for a while. So I think staying connected is really important.
Yeah, that's something. It's great to me. It's hard to do that in person, but like online is still. Obviously, we're doing this show online at the moment now, and still connecting, having good conversations too. So, when is that session on, and how can people find out more information?
That's on at 1 o'clock tomorrow, and the Zoom link is on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yes. People can just Zoom in there and we'll be there waiting.
Yeah, lovely. So 1 o'clock, and what can people expect? So I'm going to jump online at 1 o'clock, and what can I expect?
We usually do a bit of a catch-up with everybody, just talking about how everyone's feeling, and now that you've introduced me to that scale, I might have to have a look at that and introduce that to a few more people, because that sounds like a great idea. But we do have a chat and get a bit of a gauge for how people are feeling, and then we know if we need to contact them after the session, which we've been doing a lot of. So there's been a lot of phone calls coming to everybody that usually attends the Living and Learning Centre, and just checking in on how people are doing and what we can do for them. And also, a lot of people still needing to get on with aspects of their life like Centrelink and things like that. So we're able to send stuff to Centrelink or print for Centrelink. The same with the census and other things, job providers. We often have job providers here, and unfortunately they're not allowed on site. So we often have people coming in looking for them and that sort of thing. So just helping people to manage some of those day-to-day things that have become quite tricky.
Yeah, so great that you guys can still do what you can do currently now. So, you know, doing the wellbeing sessions, but also the phone calls afterwards, and if people still need support around Centrelink, all those services, they can still make a phone call to you guys as well, or connect online to sort of get that support you need, because obviously life rolls on and there's still things you got to deal with your life. And here's the LinkedIn is still there to support that. It just looks like a little bit different at the moment as well.
Yeah, look, we'd also love to hear, heading into term four, what people would like us to be delivering in term four, especially in that blended learning model, so things that can be learned online.
Yeah.
And, we'd love to get some feedback if anyone's out there thinking, gee, I'd love to do whatever, learn how to use my smartphone or whatever it may be. Anything that we can deliver in a blended model would be we'll be looking at for term four.
Yeah. And for them to contact you or give some feedback, they can actually connect through Facebook.
They can connect through Facebook, that's right.
Yeah.
Or through the website.
And phone lines too?
Phone lines too. Number is 5962-5982.
And so the wellbeing sessions, they're a regular occurrence?
We've just started them. We started them last year during lockdown. I think we did about four during the big lockdown last year.
Yeah.
And this is our second one for this lockdown.
Yeah, okay.
So we just take it week to week, like most people are at the moment. And if it rolls on for another 2 weeks, then we'll do another one.
Yeah. So it's such a great initiative to jump in and do this when it's just tough for people as well. So it's so important to help people stay connected when things are a bit hard.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, thank you so much. And so, Jen, I was thinking about Healesville. There's that beautiful environment out there, and there's some great groups around the Friends of groups in the area, but also across the Upper Yarra. And I'm curious, what your thoughts around, obviously, that such interconnect around mental fitness and physical fitness of getting out and about and volunteering. So can you tell us a bit about, volunteering, rental volunteering in Yarra Ranges, but also what can people currently do to stay active?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a huge mental health and well-being benefit from being out in nature in any way, but particularly doing environmental volunteering. There's actually lots of studies that are proving that. Doctors around the world are actually prescribing time in nature as opposed to antidepressants in some cases. So it really is showing the value of being out in nature. It's really fantastic. In the Yarra Ranges, we have over 75 Friends of or Land Care groups, which is actually the most of any council in Victoria. So I think that really is a testament to, A, the beautiful environment we have, and B, the fantastic, passionate individuals that we have. So, yeah, it's really fantastic. So wherever you live, there is guaranteed to be a volunteer group somewhere close to you. And if there isn't, you can start one. So there's no excuse, really. It is a little bit tricky at the moment with lockdown. We've had to kind of put a bit of a hold on a lot of our volunteer activities, although I do know that a lot of the volunteers are still using their two-hour exercise to go into whatever reserve is within their 5K, if that's their friends group, and pull out a weed or two while they're there, which is absolutely fine. That's a little bit of their exercise. But we are having to sort of put a little bit of a pause on sort of normal volunteering, but that doesn't mean you can't connect with your environment. We have a lot of environmental webinars up on the Yarra Ranges Council website. So if you want to learn a little bit more about your local environment, we've got webinars about platypus, about lyrebirds, about antechinus, about powerful owls, as well as sort of native plants and weeds and ways to remove weeds. So there's something for you to learn. They're all about an hour and a half long, and they're all up there on our website. I think there's about 16 or so at the moment. So I definitely recommend getting on there and having a little watch. You can educate yourself, and then you can put that sort of new learnings to good use, even just in your own garden. You can get out and do a bit of weeding or plant some native plants. So, yeah, I definitely, there's so many ways you can still connect to the environment, even in lockdown. And even a lot of the friends groups and anchor groups have Facebook pages, social media, websites and things. So have a little search, get in contact, and I'm sure they'll love to hear from you when we're all able to get out and about again. They will definitely snap all you up and get you out volunteering, get your hands dirty for sure.
So if someone wanted to connect up and find out where their local friends of group is, where can they get started? Where they connect?
The best place to go is onto our Yarra Rangers Council website. So if you kind of go through to the community and you'll see environmental volunteers, that'll take you to a map that shows you where all the environmental volunteer groups are. You can have it, like I said, you can have a look, see if there's anyone near you. If there aren't, you can send me an email at environmentalvolunteers@yarrarangers.vic.gov.au. And I will be happy to have a quick chat with you, and I will be happy to support you to set up your own friends group or landcare group.
Yeah, beautiful. And just a quick check too. So if you go, yeah, Kat's website, in the top right-hand corner, there's a little search button too. So if you just click the search and type in environmental volunteers, you'll be able to find all that contact details there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, get onto it. Like I said, and there's different things you can do as an environmental volunteer. It doesn't all have to be planting and weeding. There's things like social media, grant writing, community education. I actually started out as an environmental volunteer myself, educating children about platypus. So there's lots of different ways you can get into this gig. It doesn't all have to be just getting out and putting plants in the ground. There's lots of different activities.
Yeah, and that example of Philly just mentioned about just going for a walk and take that mindful picture and walking slowly and leave your phone at home if you can, and just enjoying actually soaking up the environment, really connecting to it. It's just a beautiful thing to do.
Definitely, yeah. I can't recommend Nature Time enough. And as you say, it's the first day of spring, so the weather is looking incredibly beautiful and really calling everyone to get outside today.
It is so beautiful. Thank you, Jen. Alyssa, talk about thinking about families and how can families sort of think about mental fitness when you've got your young ones in your house, and well, they keep you grounded, they keep you present. You haven't much chance to think about the past when you've got a little one around your legs.
Yeah, look. I think this conversation about mental fitness is really important to consider when we're thinking about children and young people. So looking after our mental health and fitness starts from, you know, probably in utero, really, but from the time we're born. And I guess one of the things that's useful to think about, you know, we've been talking about nature as a bit of a space to practice mindfulness and the connection and the benefits there. But there's a lot of protective factors for children around their mental health and well-being. So physical activity, mindfulness, social connection, relationships. So whether that's, you know, within your family or your sort of close connections, but also their friendships and peers. Communication is a protective factor for kids, so a space for them to talk and open up. Understanding how they can regulate their emotions. We've all been feeling, you know, the roller coaster ride of stress and so forth through lockdown and COVID. And kids also, you know, they need to know how to navigate those feelings as well. And I was going to suggest, you know, in line with what people have been saying, that nature is such a great space for kids to explore and to practice lots of those protective factors or to build those up. And I guess it's important for us to think too, or remember that that play in and of itself is a protective factor for children. So it's therapeutic, it gives them that space to explore, to build confidence, to release and cathart their feelings and energies. And I did have one great little bit of news. So for anyone who was listening into the Premier's press conference earlier, playgrounds are now going to be opening up as of tomorrow evening. So there'll be some restrictions around those, but I think that's really welcome news for families because families being kept, you know, cooped up in their homes is really challenging for everybody, but especially for kids. So, you know, at our team at Council, so the Family and Children Services team, our focus has really been on supporting families over the last year and a half to think about the ways that they can support their children's mental health and their learning and development, but in the home setting. So it's tricky, you know, it's a really tricky space. We've put quite a lot of work in across our team in developing some resources for families. So we launched a Facebook page last year specifically for families across the Yarra Ranges, love to invite our community to jump onto Facebook and follow along. So we publish daily posts about activities for children and for families, looking at those kinds of things, connecting, play, simple learning at home that doesn't cost a lot, doesn't require a lot of planning, and we've got a huge array of resources now that we've been building onto our website, where parents and caregivers can get ideas and download or access digital home-based play, health and wellbeing activities for children and young people. We're about to launch some great new resources which are focused specifically on nature play, really simple things that you can do either on a balcony, if that's the only space you've got, in your backyard, on a local walk, or out in a playground or a local area. And we've also been developing some seasonal nature play-based resources as well to help people use that time that we have outdoors to explore and regulate and have fun together, because I think that's one of the big ones is...
Yeah, like play together. Playing with your children is just great for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if people are interested in having a look at those resources, they're on our website, and you simply go to the Yarra Rangers website and you type in family, and you'll come to a space where we've got activities and resources. We've got a school holiday program of activities that we're taking bookings for at the moment. We may need to shift some of that programming around depending on what happens with our lockdown over the next couple of weeks. We've got webinars for parents. And then our Facebook page is just Yarra Rangers Family. So if you type in YR Families into Facebook, you will find us there. And as well as publishing, you know, resources and activities, we also share local information. So I think we've got a guest from Eastern Regional Libraries coming on in a minute. So we'll be sharing things from our local services, like our libraries, from our schools and early year services, and other community representatives to make sure that we're keeping parents and caregivers up to date with what's happening locally.
Yeah, beautiful. And some, yeah, great resources there. So, yeah, you can search at Facebook, Yarra Valley Families or YR Families, and also just search family in the council, which has been great resource. And it is just to enjoy your local environment and neighbourhoods with your children and your young people in your house, and connect with nature and connect to each other as well, which is just fantastic.
Absolutely.
And before we head off, I'm just going to jump back to Jen to talk about an upcoming exciting activity, which is the Biodiversity Blitz. Jen, you tell us a little bit about that and what it is.
Yeah, so that's actually launched today. So it's running for the whole of September, as September is Biodiversity Month. So it's an iNaturalist project. So for those that don't know, iNaturalist is a fantastic website and or app that you can download on your phone, and it's something that's around the whole world. And you can upload images of local native flora and fauna, and it goes in, it's a bit of a citizen science project, so it means that we get to see what people have got in their gardens or in their parks or bushland areas that are around the house. And it means we can keep an eye on what flora and fauna is thriving in the Yarra Ranges. And so the iNaturalist project, the Biodiversity Blitz, is actually a little bit of a competition between us and 8 other councils. So Yarra Ranges is competing with sort of, off the top of my head, Cardinia, Casey, Knox, Kingston, Frankston, Mornington, Monash. I think that's it. There might be a couple more I may have missed. And we're trying to see who can get the most observations and the most species. So what we need everyone to do is download iNaturalist and then look in projects. You'll find Yarra Ranges Biodiversity Blitz. And pretty much what you do is you take photos of anything and everything you see. So it can be in your garden. And if it's in your garden, you can actually put a privacy hiding on it, so privacy settings, so people don't know exactly where you live. But it's a really great way of learning about what you've got in your garden. If you don't know what the plant or the animal is, there will other people will come in and they will identify it for you. And often the app actually is pretty good at identifying it too. It's quite clever. It's a really, really cool way of thinking, what's this mushroom or what's this bird or what's this flower? And you can find out what it is. And it's really lovely. You can do it out on your walk. I know we were talking about not taking your phone, but this is actually a really good way of really looking, actually staying in the moment and actually really deeply looking around you, what you've got around you. You don't necessarily need to upload it straight away. You can just take the photo and do it later on, and it'll sort of match where you were. It's very clever like that. So have a look. There's some information on the Yarra Ranges Council website. If you just Google, if you just put in the search engine Biodiversity Blitz, that'll come up. We're really encouraging everyone to get out there. It's a really fantastic way for us to see what our local flora and fauna situation is like. There are prizes as well for individuals who get the most observations and most species. So we'll be giving, we haven't got those prizes sorted yet, but they will be something nature-based. It's going to be really fun. It's something for kids to do as well. We've also got a couple of webinars coming up. So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we've got an iNaturalist for beginners. So if all this is completely new to you and you have no idea what I'm talking about, tune in at 7 o'clock. Again, the link to that webinar is on council website underneath Biodiversity Blitz. And then on the 11th of September at 10 a.m, we've got one called Backyard Bugs and Bugs and Bees. And again, that's really great for young kids to watch. Hopefully that'll be a really fun way of going out into your garden, lifting up rocks and bits of bark and finding all the fun creepy crawlies and learning what they all are and getting them up onto iNaturalist as well. So yeah, really, really encouraging everyone to get out. And like I said, it's actually quite addictive. I started this morning and I'm really, really keen now. I'm taking everything I can find.
I was thinking that you just get deeper and deeper into it. And a great activity, like you said, like with friends, family, all ages, in your backyard. So it just sounds like, oh, yep, I'm going to jump onto it and get it.
Definitely. Awesome. It's a great lockdown activity.
Yeah. So yeah, council website and just search Biodiversity Blitz and that's all the information's there. As well, thank you so much, Jen and Alyssa and Shona, for your sharing today. And time is flying. And before we go for a song, we're going to jump straight in to have a chat with Deborah and Shani from Eastern Region Libraries. How are you?
Good, thank you, Michael. Thanks for having us.
It's thank a real you so much.
To be part of this. Fantastic.
Now, what's happening at the libraries currently? I know you're still doing click and collect, but tell us a little bit about ways people can connect and access the libraries currently.
Well, calling and collect, so you can give your local branch a call and we can put any reservations out for you for collection that you've organised, or we can put a bag of surprises together and put those out for you as well. And we're really enjoying choosing things for people and working out what they like and what they'll enjoy. So a good opportunity to go out and sit in the sunshine and get some vitamin D with a cup of tea and, you know, read a really good story, escape inside a novel or get a nice non-fiction resource book and learn something new if you'd like. So we've also got over 70,000 e-books that you can jump on and download, so there's so much to choose from. And just one of our programs we've got coming up at Yarra Junction Library on the 14th of September. It's a Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m, a Zoom session with Kristen White. He's an author who wrote The Wife and the Widow and The Nowhere Child, so that'd be a really good thing to get on and have a little look at.
Yeah.
And if you're a kid, the children's services officers will say hi. And we've got activity packs that you can come and collect from the library using the call and collect service. And we've also got heaps of fun stuff to do on our digital library, including a new app called iVox that shows you books that move, like reads you a story, but the story kind of comes to life on your screen. So that's a good one to do when this weather's not so nice like this and you're outside.
Yeah. And those activities packs sound like very interesting. How do people can find out more and order one?
Yeah, so people can just call their local branch, ask for an activity pack. You usually have two age groups, like a preschool pack and a primary aged pack. And once we know what you want and how many you want, we can organise a time for your parents or carers to come and collect them from the library for you.
Beautiful. So we've got the Yarra Junction Library and the Healesville Library as well.
Yep.
And all the information will be on your website, which is yourlibrary.com.au.
Correct.
Yep.
Well done.
And have all those services there with the online access as well, but the phone numbers and the upcoming online stuff as well. So all the information that you need is at yourlibrary.com.au. Amazing work you're doing. It's so fantastic to hear those packs for the kids, but also thinking about, you know, staying online and still staying connected and enjoying the beautiful books we have in our libraries wherever you are, and that click and collect as well, still available too. So no reason to not just stay active with your mind.
Yeah, so we've got YouTube videos for boredom busters and craft activities for kids as well. So you can find them through the children's section of the website.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. That's our time for this month. That time has flown by. Thank you, Shannon and Deborah. Thank you so much.
Thanks. See ya.
And thank you for all the guests today. Thank you for Jenna and Alyssa and Shona and Fairley. Great discussions about how do we stay mentally fit these days? And thank you, Alyssa, for these updates. The playgrounds are currently going to be opening with new restrictions, so you can find more on the department website, but very exciting. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll see you again next month. Stay safe, stay healthy, and go out and go for a walk if you can and enjoy this beautiful first day of spring.